Okay, good to welcome everybody, and welcome to the Motzoi Shabbos Shir for Parshas Lech Lecha. And the topic of tonight's Shir, Pidyon Shvuyim, the Great Mitzvah of Free Hostages, obviously a topic which has contemporary significance, unfortunately, based on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael at the moment. But I want to make it very clear from the outset that it's not my goal here to paskin anything or to offer my opinion, and certainly not to offer any advice as to what should be done and how it should be done. In terms of the current situation, crisis facing Klal Yisrael, but just rather to go through some of the issues relating to the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim in the different areas where it might be applicable. Our point of departure is obviously here in Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram finds out that during the battle, Avram Avinu finds out, then still called Avram, he finds out during the battle between four kings and five kings, battle wages between these different kings, whether they're actually kings or tribal leaders, whatever they were, we don't know that much about the details. They each had a city, a district, whatever it was. There was some kind of war in Israel, which did not really involve Avram Avinu at all. It was none of his business until he found out in Parak Yudalad, Pasuk Yudalad, source one, Vayishma Avram Kinishba Achiv. He found out that his nephew, it doesn't mean his brother literally, his relative Lot, had been taken captive in this battle. He was taken as a prisoner of war. He was being held captive, being held hostage by the group associated with the four kings. And so Avram sprung into action. Vayark as Chanichov, he armed, or he rallied his Chanichov, his followers, and so on. Shmona also Shoshmeos rallied 318 men. He pursued them, and so on. And he came to attack them at night, as it says in the next pasuk, Tezvav, Vayachalek alem lailo, Huvavadov, Vachedavaya came. And he defeated them, and he pursued them, and he brought everything back, including in Pasuk, the Tezayin, Begamis, Lot, Achivu, Chol, Shoishim. He brought Lot and all his possessions back. And so Avram Avinu's mission to rescue his nephew Lot, who had been held hostage, was successful. Rashi comments, Vayorik, it's an unusual word. It means Vizoris, perhaps it means armed. Chanacho is also an interesting word. It means his initiates, his people who are on his side, and so on. So I'm not going to spend details about who these exactly were. Rashi quotes the next Rashi, second Rashi in source two, Perek Gedal, Pasuk Gedal, Shmona, so Shlosh Meos quotes the Chazal that actually it was only one person who went with him. That's Eliezer, his trusted servant Eliezer, and the gematria of Eliezer is 318. You can do it. You can do the math that works. Okay, what exactly it means is like that in the Bereishis Rabba. Rashi gets his Parsha Mem Gimel Siman Bay, source number three. First, it discusses how did he rally his men? What does he mean by Yorek as Chanichov? Either one opinion says Bichlei Zayin, he gave them weapons and arms. Others said he gave them avonim tovos or margolios. He gave them jewels. He kind of like gave them a financial reward for participating. Others said he inspired them with Parsha Shoftim, which the Torah described towards the end of Chumash Devarim about how you rally up the troops and so on. And eventually it mentions that one opinion, Reish Lakish, and Bar Kappa, of Bar Kappar, it was just Eliezer, it's Gematria 318. That's how the Gemara has also in the Dharm, Lamed Beis, and Aleph, source number four. What did exactly do? Rav Omar Harikan Batorah, he inspired them through the Torah. Others say he inspired them through gold and silver and so on, the weapons, and others say it was just Eliezer. Wherever it was, Rashi there explains in the Dharma Lama Beis Menalev, Eliezer Huchushman, Eliezer Begematria, adds up to 318. Okay, whatever it was, certainly Avram Avinu rallied his men, his supporters, whatever it was, and was successful in redeeming Lot. So obviously that's the first case that we have, at least openly, of Pidyon Shvuyim, that Avram Avinu understood that he had to save Lot from this situation, was in captivity, and was successful in so doing, inspired or accompanied by Eliezer or by others. Maybe Eliezer was in charge of them. However, it worked out. So this leads us into the discussion of Pidyon Shvuyim in general. In source number six, the Pasuk says in Baba Gemara, it says in Baba Basar, Dav Chesam and Aleph, going over to Chesam and Beis, Ifra Hormiz, Ime de Shvur Malka. Ifra Hormiz was a woman who was the mother, the queen mother of Shvur Malka, was the king, King Shapur. King Shvur was some sort of a Persian king who had good relations with the Jews, with the Jewish Chachamim and so on. So one time, Shidra Arnaka, the Dinri Lekamid of Yosef, she sends some sort of a wallet or a pouch full of money to Rav Yosef, and Omra lehevel mitzvah rabba. I'm trusting you to use it for a major mitzvah. Use this money for the purpose of a major mitzvah. So Rav Yosef had to sit and think. The Gemara says, what exactly qualifies a major mitzvah? Should I buy a pair of tefillin with him? Should I buy my lulav and eser? What should be? What exactly qualifies a major mitzvah? So Abaye said, well, we have a teacher of Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Says, ain poskin tzedakah lishomer afilu pidyon shvuyim. Talking about tzedakah, okay, specifically about the distributing money by the executor of the estate of Yisom of orphans. Again, those details are not pertinent to us at the moment, but it says, Afilu l'pidyon shvuyim. Yes, it mentions Stalker is even pidyon shvuyim, implying, says Abaye, and going over to Amid Beis, Shmami, no, pidyon shvuyim, mitzvah rabbi. Pidyon shvuyim is a real mitzvah rabbi, a real major, major mitzvah. Okay, that's what qualifies as a major mitzvah. Okay, why is that so? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk Let's go on that next page. We'll skip down for a moment. It's Psukim in Yirmiyahu. Harak Tesvav, Psukim Aleph and Beis in Yirmiyahu. In source 9, Aroma Hashem Elai, Yirmiyahu says he's, Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the Jewish people, and he tells them they have to go out, right? Even Afil, in Yamod, Moshe Shmuel. Moshe Rabbeinu himself comes. Shmuel Rabbeinu himself comes. I'm not going to subside, let my anger against Klai subside. Again, the details of the context are not important, but the next pasuk is very important. Where are we going to go? Those who are going to die and die in bed, natural cause, they'll go there. Those will die by the sword, will die by the sword. Those who die by the famine will be die by a famine. Those will go into captivity, will go into captivity. So Rashi there in Yirmiyahu, in source 10, Perek Tezvah, Psukim Aleph Beis, first he says Moshe and Shmuel, when he petitioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're able to get the Jewish people to do tshuva, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded positively, but here you're not going to be able to do it, so don't even bother davening. That's the first thing. Again, the context in Yirmiyahu is not important. But the next Rashi quotes Pasuk Beis in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tezvah, source 10, Kol HaMeuchar BaPasuk Kol SheMechaveru. That Pasuk lists the tragedies in order or ascending order of severity. So it says first Mavis, then Cherev, then Ra'av, then Shvi. Okay, again, first regular death, then death by the sword, then death by famine, and then in Shvi, captivity. Kol HaMeuchar BaParsha Kol SheMechaveru. Cherev Kol SheMavis. Right, but dying by the sword is worse than dying natural causes because a cherub minavelas. The cherub, chops you up, it destroys the body. And Misumet Almitaso doesn't. And Rav is even worse because you have tremendous pain. At least with a cherub, it's quick death. Okay, but Rav, you linger for a long time. And Shvi is even worse because Shvi Kula Istanbu. That's the Gemara. Rashi referring to that second part of that Gemara on Chesma Beis in Bava Basra, in source number 6. It says there, look at the last line of 6. Amar Yochanan kol ha'meuchar b'pasuk zeh kashmi chaveru. And Shvi is kashmi kulam. Being in captivity is worse than all of them. We say in English today, it's a fate worse than death. Okay? Because the kulu isnabu. Because all of the above are possibly going to happen to someone in Shvi. Someone who's in captivity. Someone who's held a hostage. That's what Rashi says. Because Rashi there in Bava Basra, Chesma Beis in 7, the Maskul Shvi writes, Shubayara akum, right, in the Goyesha hands, lasos bo kol cheftzo. The captor can do whatever he wants. And this is hanging over the person's head. So in that sense, the Gemara is telling us that being in Shvi, being in captivity, being a hostage, in a certain sense, a fate worse than death. Many of us have probably thought about that, with or without this Gemara. Many of us have thought of that in the last couple of weeks. Nebuch, these poor people being held hostage. What's happening to them? How they're being tortured? It's unimaginable for their families. So that's the Gemara says, Shvi is worse. Being in captivity is worse, a fate worse than death. It's even worse than what's mentioned here in the other Psukim. Because anything can happen. And therefore, flip side, therefore, to redeem somebody from captivity, from being held hostage, that's why the Gemara calls that a mitzvah rabba, a major mitzvah. Tosus points out, the side point there, Chesem Beis, Dibu Maskel Pidyon Shvuim, in source 8, wonders why the Gemara in Megillah, which talks about the fact you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for any purpose. Sefer Torah is the most sanctified, the item with the highest kedusha that we have. You can't just sell it because you want to have money for a vacation or a trip or buy a house or whatever. No, you only can sell it for Lilmo Torah Lisa Isha. Only if it's necessary to learn or to pay for tuition, something like that, and to get married. Otherwise, you can't sell a Sefer Torah. So Tosus wonders, why didn't it say also for Pidyon Shvuyim? And Tosus' answer is very interesting. Shema Milsa Pshitahi. That's obvious. That's how important Pidyon Shvuyim. The Gemara doesn't even have to mention because it's so obvious. We see the significance of Pidyon Shvuyim. We look in the Rambam in source 11. Parakhes of Ilchus Matnas Anim Halach Yud. Pidyon Shvuyim Kodul Parnos Anim L'chasosam. Redeeming captives, spending money, that's a higher form of tzedakah than supporting the poor or getting clothes for them and so on. But ain lecha mitzvah gedola k'pidyon shvuyim. There's no greater mitzvah than pidyon shvuyim. Shashavu, he was in captivity or she was in captivity. Har b'chal ha-re'evim, v'hatzmeim, v'arumim, v'omid b'sakonis nefashos. Somebody who's in captivity is in the category of someone who's starving and dehydrating and unclothed and a condition of sakonis nefashos. V'amalim ain of a pidyon is over someone who ignores the plight. Someone has an opportunity to do something, ignores the plight of shvuyim, violates. The Rambam mentions 8 different things. I quoted the psukim in 12 through 15. The Rambam quotes a whole bunch of different psukim. Lo sa'ametis levolcha, lo sikbotis yorcha. That's in Parshas Re'eh, in source 12. Perek tezvav of dvarim, pasuk zayin. It says there regarding when you see somebody who's in a time of need. Don't close your heart. Don't grasp. Don't harden your heart. Don't close your hands. That person, you violate, you ignore somebody who's in captivity, you violate that. And alo samal damrecha, you violate that's the pasuk kedoshim in Perek Tes pasuk Gazan in source 13. Lo samal damrecha, you can't stand idly by the blood of your brother. Alo yedena b'farach leinecha, That's a pasuk in Parshas Behar. And the second pasuk there in 14, Perkov Hey Vaikra Pasuk Nun Gibel. Lo Yudana Befarach Lecha, don't let a person be sort of like beaten or smitten, you know, and bound to hard work. Ubitel mitzvos, you violate all those, says the Rambam. Ubitel mitzvos pasach tiftach es yorchalo. You fail to perform the mitzvah, opening your hand to somebody who's in need. That's the second pasuk printed in 12. Parshas Re'ei Dvarim Perek Tesvav pasuk ches ki pasach tiftach es yorchalo. And you fail to perform a mitzvah for chayachi chaimach. That's in again in Bahar Perek Chaf Hey pasuk Lamed Vav in 14. Mechayachi chaimach. Let another Jew live with you. Okay. The Havtorecha Kamocha, you know that in Parashat Kedoshim as well, Perikut Tes, Pesuk in Chesam 13. And Vatzel Kuchim Lamos, and that's a Pesuk in Mishlei, Perikot Dal, Pesuk in 15. Hatzel Kuchim Lamoves, okay, Umotim Leharagim Tachso, save those who have been taken from death and so on. You violate all these things. And the Rambam adds, if that's not enough, the Harbeid Varm Kailu, many other things like that. Ve'ein Lechom Mitzvah Rabbah. There's no greater mitzvah than pidyon shvuyim. And then in Halach Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, if the community who gathered money, Ansher Shagobo Moshe Binyan Beis HaKnesses, they raised money, they had a fundraising drive, a building fund campaign to raise money for a shul, okay? So then another mitzvah, important mitzvah comes, so you're allowed to use that money for that. But if they already bought, Kano Avon Mekoros, if you already bought the materials for the shul, the stone, the wood, whatever it is that you need for the shul, then you can't sell it for any other mitzvah, Ela pidyon shvuyim, except pidyon shvuyim. Except pidyon shvuyim. Okay, mocher nakol pidyon shvuyim and sell everything. The shul's already built, right? You don't have to knock the shul down and sell it for pidyon shvuyim. But other than that, you can sell it for pidyon shvuyim. These didn't appear as well in the Shulchan Aruch. We skip down to 16 now. So the other pesukim, yoredei siman resh nun beis if alaf hilchos dokeh. Pidyon shvuyim comes before, and again, it's he quotes the Rambam. Okay, regarding this din of the shul. Any other mitzvah, you know, you can't push aside pidyon shvuyim of any other mitzvah. And he writes in Sif Beis, Hamalim Eino Pidyon Shvuyim, someone who hides his eyes and doesn't participate in pidyon shvuyim, violates all these things. Again, like we saw in the Rambam, Then in Sif Gimel, on the top of the next page, Kol Rega, Shem Acher Liftos HaShvuyim, every minute you delay trying to redeem a hostage, Hecha De'ef Shel HaHakim, practical, it's possible to do it earlier, Havei Ke'ilu Shofech Domen, it's like you're murdering. So we get the idea, the significance of pidyon shvuyim. And again, in the Shulchan Aruch, Nichos Beis HaKnesses, Siman Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Yud Gimel, I want to stress these points. In source 17, it says that, you know, if you raise money for the shul and go on, you can sell it for pidyon shvuyim. And the Mishabur goes into details. Okay, you know, the you shouldn't really sell the shul either, okay? But you're allowed to for pidyon shvuyim. That's what Mishnah Berurah points out and says, pay in 18. Even if the shul is already built, the Shulchan Aruch finishes 17 and Sekuf Nun Gimel Yud Gimel. Avalim Bono Vagamba Lo Yimkuro Beis HaKnesses, El Yigvul Pidyon Ratzibar, have a separate campaign for pidyon shvuyim. And the Mishnah Berurah points out and says, pay. You don't have to, but Avalim Adin Shori pidyon shvuyim. You can even sell the whole shul for the sake of pidyon shvuyim. Okay? So, and again, just the idea, the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere, Kufnun Gimel Vav says you can sell a shul for, again, for Talmidim and for marriage, and then Mishnah Berurah adds for Pidyon, Sivkot and Chav Dala there, for Pidyon Shvuyim as well. So we see the understanding of how important the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim is. However, it's important now to take a look at Source 21, a Mishnah in Gittin, okay, which says as follows, Daf Mem Hamad Aleph, Ein Poden Es HaShvuyim, Yeser Al Kedei Demeim. You cannot redeem, you should not redeem captives for more than their value. We have to see what that means. But you don't pay an exorbitant ransom. Okay? Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. We have to see what that means. Somehow, have to repair the world. So tikkun ha'olam. Right? This, for the sake of the world being able to go on. And also, ein mavrichin es ha'shvuyim. You don't release, you don't have a plan to sort of free shvuyim if you can't free them all. Also, mipnei tikkun ha'olam. And shvuyim gamlil olam, mipnei takkun es ha'shvuyim. Rashi explains it. The Gemara is going to explain it. So first of all, before we get to the Gemara on that, we need to, what does that mean? How do you figure out somebody's worth? So the Meiri, you're not allowed to redeem a captive for more than he or she is worth. How do you figure that out? So the Meiri, in getting Mem Gimel and Bey, the beginning of that sugya, 23, Ain Podin is a shuin, right? Okay, when they used to sell people in the marketplace, slaves and so on and so forth, that's how you can determine the value of a person, what he would command or she would command as an evid in the shuk. Okay, the lolafi ashram of Amonim. Not based on their own value or how much money they personally have or how much wealth they have. Okay. Rather, it's Lefi Mashim Karim Bashuk. Now he does say at the end, Mikol Mokom, Yesh Omishim Misharan Lefi Mamono. Some say what the Mishnah means. No, you figure out how much money this person has, how much he or she is worth financially. But he writes at the end, Venir and Divir Rishonim. I think the first approach is correct. You have to figure out what they'll be, you know, what the amount would be in the Shuk. We'll come back to this. There is a relevant, related mission in Ksubos, Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says, it's describing the requirements of a husband to a wife that relates to the Ksuba. So it says, Nishbeis, if the woman's wife is kidnapped, so Chayv Lefdosa, part of the obligation of a husband is to redeem her. So the Gemara says, on Nun Beis Amid Aleph, on the bottom of the page, go over to Nun Beis, 25, Tan Rabbanan, Nishbeis, Mom Vakshim, Azor B'damel. Let's say she was kidnapped. They were demanding a ransom 10 times. There were 10 times, an exorbitant ransom. Palm Rishona Poder. He can do it once. After that, it's up to him and how much money he has and so on. We'll see what it means, why that is. But more important for us at the moment, Rishon Gamliel says no. And you can't pay extra. Ain, he quotes this mission getting on Mem Hey. Okay. Ain Poder and Sashu, yes, like that man. They technically can't do it. Even a husband for a wife. Now that's a machlokas. I had a paskin. Rishon Gamliel seems to be the Das Yachid here because the Tanur Rabbanan is the Chachamim. The Chachamim say a husband for a wife can pay more. Rishon Gamliel says no. That Mishnah applies to everybody. So some paskin of Rishon Gamliel because it's the Stam Mishnah. Others say no, the husband for the wife is an exception. And that's a machlokas, which we don't have to go into great detail now. The terms of the why after one time you don't have to do it. So Rashi explains there in Nun Beis Med Aleph and Ksuba is 26. The requirement of the Ksuba is only once. Then it's up to him. What is Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam? So we'll come back to that. But there Rashi says, what's the issue of paying an exorbitant amount? We'll come back to it in detail momentarily. Rashi Ksuba is Nun Beis Med Aleph 27. Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. Shol Yargilu LaHalos Al Demin. Because if you pay an exorbitant amount, so it just encourages these people to kidnap more. And they know they can get lots of money. Okay, so there comes a point. You got to say, I can't do it. Otherwise, it's just going to encourage more and more. And after a while, it's going to be just impossible to manage. Okay, that's what Rashi says. But getting back to the issue of how much the person's value is, so the Meiri there in Ksubas, Nun Beis is a little bit of a steer, because in source, what do we have in the first Meiri, in source 23, he said, Kedei de Mayhem, their value means the value in the marketplace. Here, and the Ramasul Nishbeis in Ksubas Nun Beis Mebeis, he says Kedei Demem. It says Lo Keeved Nimkav Shuk. Okay, Kemosha Pirsharab. Not like an Eved Nimkav Shuk. Elafi in Yonam Ukvodam. It's what they have. So it's a little bit of a stira in the Meiri. The Ritva, okay, and there in Ksubas Nun Beis Mebeis 29. The Ramasul Shun Gamliel. He says there Kevin the Kamelon ain't Poden Shun Osim Kedei Demem. He holds we passing up Shun Gamliel here based on the mission Gittin, and he says again Keeved Nimkav Shuk. Okay, the ain shaman is adam lifti osher. It's got under with the person's personal wealth. It's keever nimkar b'shuk. The Rambam at least potentially introduces something else. The Rambam Hilchos Ishus paragud dal halach yirches paskins that that's part of the husband's requirement to wife nishbeis chayv liftos. He has to redeem her. And the next halach yutes he's ain mechayvenes habal liftos paskins like Shun Gamliel ain mechayvenes habal liftos ishto b'yeser al demel. Now, how much is that? He doesn't quite say Eved Nimshuk with Nimka B'Shuk, but rather Ela Kamashi Shove Kishaar Hashvuyos, like other kidnapped people. Now, to figure out, I don't say it in a funny way, but it's like a market rate. What do people normally do? That's what I think the Rambam is saying. And I have to say, that's not what the Magid Mishnah says. The Magid Mishnah there in Perk Yud Dal Vilchus Ishos, Alagi Test 31, I mean, the Magid Mishnah says, B'Gemara Tzmachokas Hanam, etc. And he says, Uperish Domeh Ha'isha Shaman Osa Keshivchanim Keres B'Shuk. That's how he understands the Rambam. But I think the Rambam may be alluding to something else. And it's like, not Eved and Imka B'Shuk, and not the person's wealth. But again, what is considered normal in the society at that time. That's how it looks like from the Radvaz. The Radvaz is a tshuva. Tshuva is a Radvaz, Chelek Aleph, Simon Mem, 32. He was asked this question, how much it mean? Is it, how do we figure it out? So first he writes, in 32 in the tshuva, Kvar Nogu Kol Yisrael Liftos Eshavum Yosem Mekdei Demeyam Anim Karim. Now, unfortunately, it's the practice among Jews, we pay exorbitant amounts. We pay more, okay? And he says, because maybe, okay, the Gemara says, well, you don't do it, but you shouldn't do it. We'll come back tomorrow, but you shouldn't pay an exorbitant fee because just encourage them to do more. So he says, unfortunately, they do it anyway. So it's not going to make a difference. They're going after us anyway. All right, in Rome, Bismanazesh, Shavon, Ein Yosma, Chatilu, Shu Yisrael, they go after people. It's not necessarily Jews. Okay, Hilchach, Afilu, Shu Podonos, Yosem, Mash, Shav, Vashuk, Kamen, Shane, Podonos, Yosem, Mash, Niftin, Ashar, Akum. You find out if the Goyim will pay this amount, so then we have to pay this amount. That's what I said before. It's a going rate. It's not, we don't look at the Eved Nimka B'Shuk aspect, but rather, they come after us. They came out, these pirates and kidnappers and human traffickers, whatever you want to call them, come after other people too. So you have to figure out, and that's what he thinks it means, right? Ayachsu Mikdei the Mehen, not Shivuyon. It would have been Shivuyon, their value, fine, but it doesn't say Yachsu Mikdei the Mehen. So he writes on the fifth line there, Mashma the Mehen Shoshun Harogil B'Chol Ashvuyim. what I thought maybe the Rambam was saying, but I don't know, the Rambam may not say it, that's how the Magen Mishnah learns, but the Radbaz is definitely saying it. What is, so to speak, the going rate? Okay, and but more than that, that you can't do, because otherwise then they'll see, oh, Jews pay more, we'll go after the Jews. Right? If they see that the Jews are paying whatever they're going, so okay, they're not going to pick on the Jews, but otherwise they will. On the other hand, he writes, but Jews do pay more. In Toma, Harei and Roim, unfortunately, we do pay. So he gives a few justifications, okay? Chada, maybe, you know, there are non-Jews who also pay these large amounts if they're wealthy, or maybe it will come back to this point later, there's a Talmud Chacham amongst them, or maybe there are children that were afraid that they'll be, you know, taken to violate Judaism, and so on. He gives a few different reasons, okay? Or maybe the person himself is redeeming himself, that the person can do whatever he wants to redeem himself. We're talking about the community. So, and he quotes, but nevertheless, we kind of volunteer, and he quotes a pasuk. I printed a pasuk because we're familiar with that pasuk, 33, Tilim Perak Mem Zayin, pasuk Yud. Nidive Amim Nasofu Amalok Avrom Ki Lekimo Gen Eretz Mod Nala. Okay, if you think about it, you'll remember, it's the last pasuk in L'Olam Tzeach Lim Nekorach Mizmor that we say seven times before Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Nidive Amim Nasofu. Nidive Amim are people who volunteer to do more than they're considered Amalok Avrom. But strictly speaking, you don't pay more than a certain amount. The Maram Lublin disagrees with this Radbaz and Simon Tesvo of his Chubas, he's 34. He says, look, you know, it's Eved Anim Kabashuk. And that's it. They said, even though today we don't have that too much, you can skip towards the end. He lived in Lublin. It wasn't the practice anymore. How do we figure that out? He says, nevertheless, that the din has changed. You have to figure it out. And there are still people, he said, in certain lands, he writes in Arab lands in his time, they do sell avodim and slaves. There are still slaves and human trafficking. So you figure it out. I'll call me of Yasman Ba'inyan. So that's an interesting question, exactly how much you have to be willing to pay. Yoruch HaShulchan, there in Yerodei Simon Reish Nun Beis, in Sif Yud Aleph 35, says, Ein Mavrich HaShulchan, he says, Shir, look at the last words, Shir Kedei Demeim Lo Yadanu Kama. We don't know exactly how much it is. But the bottom line is you're not supposed to spend an exorbitant amount, whatever we consider an exorbitant amount. Now, why not? So now we come to the Gemara. We saw a little bit, but now we'll look in detail. That Gemara, and that Gemara in Gittin, on that Mishnah, Mem Hamad Aleph, which says you're not supposed to spend Yesem K'day Deman, whatever that K'day Deman is. Either, again, we have different opinions. Either it's the person's personal worth, or it's like a slave, or it's like whatever the going rate is for to redeeming captives and so on. Fine. You don't do more than that. And Aruch HaShulchan, again, 35, Aruch HaShulchan said, Reishon Beis Yud Aleph, said that we don't know what the exact amount is. Okay, but there's a certain amount, which we understand, is an exorbitant amount. So why can't you do it? So Abaye Elohu, 36. Because you can't just put that kind of pressure on the community. Because, you know, the community has limited funds. And if you're going to spend everything we saw before, how important the mitzvah of Pidyon Shuim is, you have to do everything for Pidyon Shuim. Okay, but there comes a point, what do you do? Okay, you can't, it's going to keep happening, and then the community's going to run out of money. Duch money, duch tzibura. As Rashi says there in 37, you can't make the community become poverty stricken. Okay, I mean, yeah, it's important to redeem captives. Everyone else is not going to become a beggar and have no food. And it comes a point, you can't do it. Is that what it is? Oh, Dilma Mishum Do Ligro Elisitzvei. Or is it, no, it's like I said before, like we quoted before from Rashi and Ksubas back in source 27, that they won't become accustomed to doing it and doing it again. And the nafkamina is, what if it is a very wealthy family? Okay, they're not going to put any pressure on the community at all. They're not asking the community for a nickel. They're going to pay the exorbitant amount. So if it's to avoid pressure on the community, okay, so then a private person decides to pay more because his family raises the money themselves. They don't take away from anything in the community. Then okay. On the other hand, if it's discouraged them from doing it more, then it would even have, doesn't matter. He's still not allowed to do it. And so the Gemara says, Toshma, the lady by Dargo, a certain fellow, Parka Labirte Betlesar Alfe Dina Rezav. He once redeemed his daughter for a huge amount, 12,000 golden dinars. That's a riot. He did it himself. He didn't ask anybody from the community. He did himself. The rich man did it himself. So Amar Baye. So that seems to be riot that it's okay. All right. That's what Rashi says. They're getting Mehmed Al 37. Alma Mishum Dukkah the Tzibur. Probably the whole concern is not to pressure the community. But if you're not pressuring the community, so it doesn't matter. Okay. But then Abaye says, Uman Lemel of the Bratzon Chachamah. Who said he did the right thing according to Chazal? Who said that Paskal Halacha like that? Dilma Shalobritzon Chachamah. Maybe he did the wrong thing. We have no riot from him. Okay. So it's Abaye Delev Shita. It's a question. Okay. And also, Ein Mavrichan Hashem Bnei, that's something else. But the reason you shouldn't just redeem a few captives at once, that's Mibnei Takana Shuyim, because we're concerned about the others. And Rashi and the problem is because Rashi explains Dilma Lekachad Shavui, the Tanakam are concerned that if you redeem a few captives, so then they'll torture the other ones who are left behind. It'll make it worse for them. We saw that. I mean, we've seen that, you know, in the concentration camp. Somebody escaped. They went ahead and shot the, you know, they shot a lot of other people instead. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, a personal person can do it, but to help only some and not others, you end up making it worse for the other people left behind.
Is that what Mavrichen means? It doesn't mean breaking them out?
But only breaking some out. Only breaking
no,
some
no,
out.
No, not paying for them.
No,
doing
breaking
it by
out.
Force.
Right. But even so, you shouldn't do it because you're the ones who are left behind. That is what it means. Yes, I'm sorry if I didn't make it clear. Yeah, you break them out, but you only break some of them out. And that's what the Gemara says. It only is one. Then it's okay. All right. The Rambam Hilchos Matnasin and Parakas
Alekud Beis. Doesn't the Gemara don't they differentiate in some place? I mean, besides the wife exception, isn't there an exception for family members also?
Yeah, we'll get to it. Okay. So Gemara Rambam Parakas Alekud Beis Hilchos Matnasin 38. Ain posing as a shroom yes all the members tikkun olam and he paskins shalo you are ovim road from achren l'shvosam. So our enemies won't pursue us to kidnap more people. Okay. And the same thing with don't break them out because it'll make things worse. The Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam Paskins like the first lashon of the Gemara, that it's not, I mean, the second lashon of the Gemara, actually, not to avoid pressure on the community, but for the person, they won't do it again. He says that to the Rif Paskins as well. Okay, so that's how we seem to Paskin. The Ran on the Rif and Gittin, Kof Gimel Aleph on the page of the Rif says that way also. And he says that's why we Paskin Shimon Gamaliel. Okay, others disagree. Fine. Shulchan Aruch, Sim Reish Nun Beis Siv Dalad. Okay, ain podim and sashum yosim de remem ditikon olam, shalo yu oivim, mosrim atzmam aleyam lishvosim. So they won't give themselves over to kidnap more people. They won't exert the effort to kidnap more people. And in the halach of Sifhei, it says, ain mavrichen hashvuim and ditikon olam. Okay, again, shalo ov makbidim aleyam, make things worse for the other people. Now the Shach, you mentioned the point, Jackie, you mentioned the Shach there in Tzikot and Dalad, says in Simration on Bezi Yoredei 42, Shach says Mashma Filu Krovo, even if it's a relative. Okay, but then he writes about a Bach Poskach, the Roshay lift also, relatives can. So that's what you were alluding to. Okay, and because there's no Dukkah in Tzibur, and so that's an interesting question. Seems to be a Machokas, and he said that the custom is, or the practice seems to be, that if a guy wants to redeem his wife or another relative, he's not obligated to, but he can. So that's what you were mentioning before, Jackie. The Piskei Tshuva there, it's in Reish Nun Beis, in Sivkot and Hay. He quotes Amram Lublin, who says that it's a matter of how much he pays in the Shuk, how much he would command in the Shuk as an Eved, and he quotes the Shuvah Svaradvaz, we mentioned before. And in Sivkot and Vav, again, a person can get out himself. He doesn't have to worry about the other captive. You can get yourself out, save your own life. When it says Ein Mavrichen, it means the community shouldn't, or other people shouldn't just spring or break out some of them. Now, other exceptions. Tosus on the Gittin Mem Hayamad Aleph. Raise the question. But there's a Gemara Ksubis, that says the story of the wife, and it said that he was willing to pay more, right? The Habi Kegufo. So that maybe that's different. It goes back to that Machlokas. Maybe the wife is different. Okay. Well, Atzmo Lo Tikkun Shalitin Kol Shelo Barav. Sure, fine. That's one question. But I'm more interested in the second question now. Rab Shua Bechananya the Park Elahit Tinok Bemamon Harbe Banizok. And refers to Gemara and Gittin Nun Ches Malav. Come back to those in a second. Look at the Gemara in 45. It's a Gemara that sometimes we study on Tisha B'Av. It's in those Gemaras in Park and Izok and Gittin that you learn on Tisha B'Av. Tan Rabbanon Ma'i Sebe Shua Bechananya. Shua Bechananya once went Lashalach Lekach Kodesh Baromi. Once went to Rome, fine. And Omar Lo, they told him Tinok Echad Yesh Beveis Hashem is a kid. Tinok doesn't mean an infant, a baby, a kid. There's a kid being held captive, a hostage in the prison over here. Fine, good looking and charming kid and so on. So Halach Yeshua went, Omar al Pesach Beis Hashem. He stood near the prison where the kid was being held, and he quoted a pasuk. Omar mi nosalam shisa Yaakov Yisrael abozim. He quoted a pasuk, okay, and it heard behind the wall there, the kid quoted the second half of the pasuk. So he realized that it's a learned, very learned child, and he said, Omar, the second, third line of 45, Muftachane bo shemora harab Yisrael. This kid's going to grow up to be a great leader of the Jewish people. Great Morara. Havodos, I swear. I'm going to redeem him. Whatever ransom they can ask, I'm going to do it. And he didn't. He raised the money, got the kid out, and it ends up not long after, Hitaka became a great Morara. Who was that? The famous Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Get Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, more than one Rabbi Shmuel. Fine, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Okay, so Tosis, yes, what do you mean? How did he do that? He spent all this money. So go back to Tosin, get Nun Mem Hamad Aleph. Tosin asked that kasha. So he answers, that last line of 44, that Tosin getting mem hevet al dumaskal delo, he says, "Lefisha haya muflag b'chochma." There's an exception for someone who's a distinguished, a great leader, going to be a great Talmud Chacham. That's one. Inami, another, it's a Bishas Chuban Abayis L'Shayach Tel Higvu. Again, like I said before, you know, unfortunately, they bother us all the time. So what do you mean? If we don't pay more, then if we pay more, then they're going to encourage to treat us poorly. They're going to encourage to kidnap more of us. They do it anyway. Okay, that's the two answers Tosus gives over there. On the Sugyan Gittin, he gives a third answer. Okay, Gittin, Nun Chesam and Alef Dumaskal Kol Mamon, 46, it raises the same question implied. How did Rabbi Shur ben Chanya spend all this money? He says, "Ki ikar sakonos nefoshes hodin shuos Yeshua Yosel k'day demayim." When his life is in danger, when there's a threat to life, so then you can pay more. You hear that? That's a very important point. Basically, what the Tosfos is saying is that the sugi and gittin, the mishnah and gittin, don't pay more than their value. Have we determined what the value is? We have different shitas. That's talking about pirates. You know, kidnappers who are interested in ransom money. They want to make money. It's a business. Okay, they kidnap somebody and they hold them up for a ransom. You get the money, then they go to retire in the Caribbean somewhere. Okay, that's what they want. Or human traffickers, they want to make money. It's a business. That's when a mission implies. That's when a mission applies. Okay, you're not allowed to spend more money. But, says Tosis over here, but when there's Takonis Nefoshes, they're not kidnapping, you know, just to make some money. It's Mamish Takonis Nefoshes. They're doing it for a second. That's a different story. And that's how Tosa perhaps was going over there. Then he gives the other two answers. And he says, the other answer is maybe, he gives the other, certainly here, Ika Dika Katola, set to life. Inami gives one of the other answers. The other Tosa, Mishun, the Muflok B'chachma. It was a great Talmud Chacham. So there we see a couple of exceptions. Now, what Tosa is getting at when he says that there was a possible threat to life, that's a Sugya also in Gittin, Mem Vomit Base 47. Hamocher is Atzmo. A guy sells himself to a guy. He came to be an indentured servant. He had no money, whatever. He sells himself. So that ain't podim rosu. You don't have to redeem. He sold himself. However, once he dies, you get the children out of there. Okay? Now, why did you redeem him the first time? So Rashi explains that it must be. Rashi ain't getting my mom and bay. He says it must be because Hov Rogam does it all the time. And that's what the Gemara says. In 49, Memvom and Beis, the guy did it. Amar of Asi, who Shemocha Vishon of Ashilei. This guy did this several times. So the first time you try and redeem him, but after that, okay. But the children you have to redeem. But there's something else that comes out from that Gemara. The end of first paragraph of 49. Hahu Gavra, third line of 49. This is getting the very bottom of Mem Vavan Beis. Hahu Gavra, the Zoven Nafshe Leludoi. He sold himself Leludoi. Who's Ludoi? Look in the last Rashi in 50. Getting Mem Vavan Beis. Ludoi. Uma Sha'ochlin Bnei Adam. Cannibals. Cannibals. He sold himself to a cannibal tribe. So then, also the Kamid of Ami, they asked Rabbi, what should we do? Amalem Pirkin, you better redeem him. You got to get him out of there. Amalei, what do you mean? I thought the Mishnah says if a guy sold himself several times, and this guy apparently did, so then you don't have to take him out. So he said, no. We said before, you get the children out because we're afraid they'll be taken off the derech, the kilkula, right? Look in Rashi, Memzayim, Allah 51, Mishum kilkula, Shem yut me'ubo, dekochavim, they'll become like goyim. If we're concerned about that, to look at the last line of 49 that I printed on Memzayim, Aleph in Gittin, it says, kosikain hachadika katola. Here it's life and death. He didn't realize it. He sold himself to cannibals. Okay, so it's, you know, it's therefore for life and death, it's a different story. Do we paskin like that? Well, Tosa says as one of three answers. You put the two Tosas together. Tosin Gittin Mem Hamad Aleph in 44, and a Tosin Gittin that Dimaskal Delo, and a Tosin Gittin Nun Ches Amad Aleph, Dimaskal Kol Mamon, put the two Tosas together. We have three different answers. But one of them is that life and death is different. Do we paskin like that? Well, the Ramban in his Chidushim to Gittin Mem Hamad Aleph 52, the Ramban writes, Dimaskal Mishum, mentioned the following. Mistabra, the Talmud Chacham, Podin also b'chol moment shabolam. The guy's a Talmud Chacham, he learns the Gemara that way. That's why Rabbi Shua was able to redeem Rabbi Shmuel. He was Talmud Chacham, then you can do everything, okay, that's necessary, because we can't replace them. We need the leadership and so on and so forth. That's what Ramban writes. He doesn't mention about life and death. Similarly, the Rashbo and his condition to get in Mem Hamad Aleph, Dimaskal Mishum, also writes, Rabbi Shua ben Chanya was able to do that because, first of all, maybe it's different, maybe it was a relative, okay? Maybe Rishu did it on his own. He didn't tax the community. Okay. Inami, it's because he was a Talmud Chacham, Tzurba Rabbana. That's different. The Ritva in Ritva also in Ksubas Dun Beis and Beis, Dimash Mashgamalil says a Talmud Chacham, Podin also Bechol Mamun Shabbat Olam. So we find an exception for somebody who's a community leader. The community depends on the community needs him. The Radva is in a different Shuba than we quoted before. It's Chelek Aleph Simon Tov Tzadi Ches 55. The Radva writes also about Talmud Chacham, Podin also Bechol Mamun Shabbat Olam. and so on, as far as we're sure, that's the Iker reason. And he says that the other reason, that's the main reason he passes like that, that's the main reason for that sugya, not the other one. So, lahalocha, okay, lahalocha, and by the way, at the end, he writes, why aren't we worried? Why is the Talmud Chacham different? So first of all, because the community needs him, but also because it's not going to drive up the price because the captors don't know that he's a Talmud Chacham. They're not going to realize that, you know, I mean, it's not that they kidnap someone and give him a fahir to see if he's a Talmud Chacham. Okay.
Wasn't Marama Rutenberg's concern though?
We'll get that shortly. So anyway, but he does say the Red Baz in the end of the Tshuva, right? You should say the only reason we're paying X is because this guy's a Talmud Chacham, right? So they won't think that every Jew is like that. The Rosh, in Ksuba's Paragdalet,
the same issue came up with Rav Hutner in 1970.
Rez Hashem will get that too. So the Rosh writes in Ksuba's Paragdalet, Simon Chav Beis, in the Rosh, Tanar Bonan, he said, it's a machlokas, will he pass like a Shemangam Leel or not? Is the wife different and so on? It's a machlokas, Rishonim, he mentions. But he does write at the end, the reason some say that a Shemangam Leel is wrong, the husband can be po to the wife even more. The Mishnah Gittin doesn't apply to a husband for wife. And he writes because Kamosha, last line of that rush, 56, Ukamosha Adam Yochol, Liftos Atzmal Chol Momono, Ishtonami. He does it himself, so that's a. So far we have a few Yotzim in a Klal. Okay, one Yotzim in a Klal is the person himself, or perhaps his close family members can spend more. Another exception is Talmud Chacham, another exception is Sakonas Nefoshos, okay, as some say. The Rambam, Paskin is a Perakhes, Halach Yud Gimel, interesting, he doesn't mention the Talmud Chacham. But he does mention in the end of 57, this is Parakes Halach Yud Gimel in Hilchos Matnas Anayim, Vibikshu Lahargo, if life's in danger, they want to kill him, then Podinus Nidah Filo Acha Kamapam, you can redeem him even more many times. However, the Ramban, in his Chidushman Gittin, we said before, it's Mem Hey Omid Aleph, then hold over the question now if it's okay. In Gittin Mem Hey Omid Aleph, Dimas Mishum, the Ramban writes, Yesh Omrim, Dechol Hecha Dechashosha, Demisa Podimoso. Some say, that if there's a danger to life, then you can be po there, wherever money. But below Mistaba, I don't think it's true. The whole Shavi Kulis, remember the Gemara we started with, in Baba Basad Avches, we said that every captive, there's a potential Sakana Tefashas, right? We had that Pasuk that spoke about Misa, and the worse than regular Misa is Chayrib, and worse than Chayrib is Rav, and Shvi is worse than all, fate worse than that. That's every Shavi. So it can't be that that's an exception. So that's an interesting point. The Ramban simply somehow seems to disagree. The Meiri and Gittin Mem Hayim and Al Dimasel Kvar Biyano 59 talks about Yesh Cholkin Befodes Atzmo. A person can mention the things that we have, you know, the three exceptions. Podes Atzmo, guy can redeem himself, maybe immediate family. Shema Koshe Chashash Misa in Ledover Kitzel, he says at the end, three lines on the bottom. Chashash Misa is different. And Tzurba Rabban Talmud Chacham. How do we pass into the Shulchan Aruch? There in Yoredeus and Rachel and Beis Yavdal in 60 writes, a person who can pay himself to redeem himself, he can pay whatever he wants. Okay. V'chein l'tamar chacham, and also tamar chacham. And then in Sivav, the end of Sivav, Mechaber writes, v'im bikshu lahargo, podenos hum yara filach ha-kamacham, bikshu lahargo is also different. So if you look in the Yam Shol Shlomo and Gittin, on that sugin, it's Perek Dalet Simon Samach Vav, in the Yam Shol Shlomo 61, so he writes, well, first of all, like we said in the Radvaz, he's older than Radvaz. He writes, well, Idna, Anshe Gomi Chasonber Tugarma Vasmukan, Podim Ashu Yosef Yosef McDay the Man. Jews who are Gomi Chesed, we spend and redeem captives for much, much more than they're worth. Okay. Mivatrin al Dukha de Tzibur Shalem. He said, well, the Gemara says you shouldn't place a strain on the community. The communities will accept the strain. We don't have to accept that. We're going to take the strain. Okay. They will do it. And he says, well, yeah, especially now, he says, unfortunately, in the third line of 61, Nismatu Yisrael Begola, we're in exile, such a small community. Yesh Lachos HaYasar Plato, we have to worry about every Jew and so on, it's different and so on. Okay. Then he writes also about Sakonas Tefoshes. Okay. And many times today, Gamim Lo Yifto, some Ikal Mech Lo Olibom. You know, today, many of the captives in his time, the Amshish almost said there was a threat to life. So he also passes that way. The second last line on that page of a Sakonas Tefoshes, Pod Niosimik Day Demand. And then he tells a story that someone mentioned before, the Ram Rutenberg. Shomati Amarami Rutenberg, okay, who was captured in the big palace of Migdol Eichsheim, okay, for many years. We know the story, okay, remember from Kinnis and Tishbav and so on. They wanted a huge amount. But Kehilos, so top of the next page, Kehilos, so wrote some of those. So the committees wanted to redeem it. It's Amarami Rutenberg, okay? And it was no one like him. He didn't allow it. He said no. He would not let the community redeem him for this exorbitant ransom that they were commanding. B'tamo Ani, says the Yom Shul Shlomo. Me'achash ha'tamar chocha muflog. There's no one like him in the whole generation, with the leader of the generation. Right? The Maharam Rutenberg is considered the last of the Baalei Tosfos. He was the Rebbe of the Rosh and the Rebbe of the Mordechai and the Rebbe of Gos Maimonides, you know, major figure. And you can redeem him for everything. And if you want to tell me, well, he was so humble, he didn't consider himself, and how could he not be choshesh for Bittul Torah and so on and so forth? Okay. So
yeah, but he clearly was giving, you know, learning and giving psalm from the prison. Well, so,
that may have been at a later time, because you look at the third. It's true because one of the Talmidim came in, Tashbetz came in and wrote down his record. The only thing is the Amshar Shlomo. Look at the third line on that page. Who are Yoshev B'choshev B'tzamavus B'li Torah V'Ora. So maybe there were different times. He was there for many years. So maybe, you know, that he mentions that point. But in any event, at the end, he writes, we also have to be concerned because he said we have to be choshes and maybe they'll go after other Talmid Chacham. I said before, they won't give a fahir, but they can find out who the Talmid Chacham are. And he writes, Shamati, Shohayab, the last two lines, Shohayab Das, also Ator, Litvos Gam HaRosh, Talmido. The same guy who put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison wanted to put the Rosh in prison too. And the Rosh got word of it, so he ran away, ran to Spain. And he got away, yeah. However, that's the story of the Maharam Rutenberg. So maybe again, you have to worry about what's going to happen to other people. The Yom Shel Shlomo further in Gittin Perek Dalet on Ayin Beis, he writes again, Hey Chashika Sakonas Nefoshes Poden Oso Afilu Kamapamim Sakonas Nefoshes is different. So on that Siman Yoredeis and Rishon Beis, they've gotten Dalet 63, the Piskei Tshuvas, they've gotten Dalet quotes different opinions whether that's true. If the guy is Omri LaHariga, he says, he quotes the Tshuva's Yad Elio. We mentioned last week, one of the early Achronim from Lublin. His Tshuva's printed in Siman Mem Gimel. I printed part of the Tshuva in 64. You can take a look at it. He says, that answer of Tosis, right, who says that his life and death is different. Look at the second line. Terutso kama lo koyali b'demes. It's not halacha. We don't pass kama halacha, like the Ramban said. Okay, because same thing. The Gemara said, Shvi, is someone who's a Shavui, who's Bishvi, all the things apply, including death. And therefore, Pidyon Shvuim is no different. Every captured person in life and death situations. You can't make that a chiluk. And he said, V'chein kosov b'tshuvas Maharam Lublin, I mentioned before. Again, I quoted in Siman Tezvav, okay, in 65, part of that tshuva also. We have to worry about that as well. And it doesn't matter, even if it's a life and death situation. You look at the rest of the Piskei Tshuva, he quotes those who disagree with that. He quotes the Knesset Yechezkel. In the middle, he quotes an interesting point. You know, but I thought if Rambam said, the Shulchan Aruch said, Yuvalit Losam al-Dam Reyecho, right? Isn't that a lav? A lav, you have to spend every nickel. You don't have to spend every nickel you have. There's a limit to how much you have to spend for a mitzvah's asay. There's a limit to how much you have to spend on a little bit of esrog or any other mitzvah's asay, right? Not more than one-fifth, and so on, of your what you have. But for a low asay, you have to give up everything. Even if you lose your job, you can't work on Shabbos, right? So it doesn't matter. So what about this low asay? So they talk about a difference, whether it's the kumbasay, shev al-tay, an interesting sugya for a different time. But in any event, that seems to be machlokes, whether for a life and death situation, not so poshut. Not everybody agrees. Okay, so certainly some poskim, Shulchan Aruch says, if the guy's life is in danger, then you can spend whatever you want. And other poskim, we see again, the Maharam Lublin and the Yad Eliyahu and others, the Piskei Tshuva quote, say we're not so convinced that that's not necessarily true. So that remains perhaps a little bit of open question, even if there's life and death, because again, even if it's a life and death situation, it could be that, it'll end up making things worse, etc. So that's what we have to keep in mind. One other thing to throw into the mix, okay? I saw the Meshech Chochma, the Pasuk in Parshat Kisetze talks about the Isha Yafas Tor, right? That's the attractive woman who a Jewish soldier, quote-unquote, falls in love with her and he takes her as captive. So at the beginning of Parshat Kisetze, you bring her back and there's a whole process we follow and so on, then he can take her as a wife, right? So the Pusik says, in the beginning of Kisaytze, Devarim Perakov ala Pusik Yud, Kisaytze on the Chama Levecha, Unsono Hashem Alechel Yadecha, Yishavisa Shavio. Hashem gives your enemy over to you and you take captives. So the Meshach Chochma, Rei Simcha, there, in Parashat Kisaytze, Perakov ala Pusik Yud, 67, writes that the only time the Yafas Torah din applies, that leniency applies, is after you find her in the battle, Unsono Hashem Alechel Yadecha, Hashem, you've defeated the enemy, the war is over, then you can take her. She's right. She dafka im Hashem knows and oyu biad Yisrael. Otherwise, kederach hamilchamos. What happens? Each side often takes POWs. They take prisoner of war from each side. But oyu shov meheh, you take from them. They take from you, and so on. And then kishosim shalom, even besoch hamilchama machlifim shuyim, prisoner exchange. Okay. So the Meshech Chochma writes, you have this Eishiyafas Torah. The war is still going on. You can't take her because you got to hold her in case she can be used to redeem Jews. You know, that's what he's saying, right? In Cain, he talking ki avuri fas Torah, which regarding osel isha bal kocha, you act for Yisrael. You're going to hold her
and so on, not use her as a potential, you know, whatever, potential person for a prisoner exchange, it makes things worse for other Jews. A very fascinating comment. What it introduces us to is the idea that in war, maybe some of the dinim are a little bit different. I just pointed, I'm not going to read inside now to save time. We look in 68, Ravozin, Chuba Shevet Alevi, Chelek Haysim, and Kufl, and Zion, Oz Dal, summarize a nice, neat summary of many things that we said. He writes, he says again, he talks about the tshuva, he quotes that Pesach tshuva, that some say, in Yesh Chashash Misa Podin, and Yad Elio says, not that way, eventually we saw that, but he says, you know, in the second paragraph, we saw the Me'iri Mefurish that way. The Me'iri said openly, if there, because the Rambam, you know, the Me'iri said openly, if there's life and death danger. The Rambam didn't really say it. If you look back in that Rambam in 57, in Bikshula Hargo, that was talking about the guy who, they could redeem him. That was the guy who sold himself. The Rambam didn't quite say it by a regular hostage. So I think what some Achronim want to say, the Rishonim don't mention that life and death is different. And other Abba, Ramban said life and death doesn't matter because every Shavui is in a state of life and death, you know, the danger to life. But the Shevet Levi writes, the Me'iri says it. But he writes, the Me'iri wasn't available. The manuscript wasn't available. They didn't see it. So Ma Eseh, Shadayin Lo Zochel, the Dibur Ben Me'iri. Okay, the Me'iri says it. Okay, and therefore they would have seen, these Achronim would have seen, the earlier Achronim didn't see the Me'iri. It wasn't available until later on. It hadn't bound and reprinted the manuscripts. That's an interesting comment. Okay, and he quotes the Pesach Tshuva, the Mokom Ika Chashosh Ketol HaChayev, and so on. And he mentions about that Osama Adam Reyachov. It's interesting. Tshuva, you can see it. And he summarizes the Pesach Tshuva. And he says at the end, you know, we can't worry about, we have to worry about saving these people and so on. Okay, you take a look in the last 69, the last thing on that page. Chuvas Yabia Omer, that's Ovad Yosef, Chelek Yud, Chelek Chosh Mishpat, Simon Vov, long Chuvah, only quarter, one small paragraph, on the Entebbe operation. Okay, whether that was a halacha, what are the halachic issues, and so on. Actually, the Rabbanim were consulted, he writes, very interesting, long, and I didn't read the whole thing, very, very long Chuvah. So in Chaf Aleph, he writes, to Mikol Makom, Benidon Didan, says, host Chaf Aleph, in that Chuvah, Sherov HaPoskim, he, and look, Rav Yosef quotes everybody and anybody, and he says, "Sherov haposkim srile shebemukom sakana podin yosem echdei demayim." Rov haposkim said, "If it's a sakana, then you do whatever you have to, you spend whatever you have to have." The lo matzano migdola haposkim shomalach. We don't find the gdola haposkim who said otherwise. Okay, and in the third line, mikomokum she sakana mamosh v'davar kunid dan lo chashin la haytima. We're not worried about what's going to happen in the future, and maybe they'll do it more. Yeah, last sakana to fall. That's what Shevet Alevi also said. Right, if you look at the second last paragraph of 68, right now there's a real sakana in the fush. We can't say, well, if we redeem them, they'll do it again. We'll project the future. You can't worry about that right now. Right now, the sakana is the fush. That's all we have right now. Look at the last words of that second last paragraph of 68. I'm going back again to Shevet Levi. He says, you look now, right now, the sakana. You can't worry about the future of the sakana right now. So that's not
referring to prisoner exchange, though.
No. That's
pigeon for money or something.
Well, that's not so clear. Okay, we don't know. Okay, he's not talking about prisoner exchange. It looks like, but it's talking about, and again, the and Rav Adi Yosef certainly is talking about, you know, again with the Entebbe, so it wasn't for money. I'm not sure. It could be that it was ultimately for money, but it's probably for other prisoners also. So I'm not sure. But look at it says. He said, we're worried that they're going to do it again. Look what Rav Adi Yosef writes, and this is what the contemporary situation. We're going to redeem and captives and so on. They're going to encourage him to do it more. He writes, Ubelav hachi. He went out there. Heim osim kol ma shebicholtam lachtof olaharagol ertzach. These terrorists do whatever they can do anyways, right? Well, k'dei l'shabesh malach hachayim haragilim of Nidas Yisrael, to upset normal life in Eretz Yisrael. They're doing it anyway. Oh, we'll give in over here, then everything will be okay. Were you crazy? That's what he's saying. People are saying, okay, well, look, ceasefire and all these things. Again, I don't know, opine on you know, matters that are well beyond my knowledge in both in halacha and in tzias and militarily and politically and everything else. But still, to say we should, now everything will be okay. No, all everything won't be okay. That's what Rav Yosef is saying. They're trying to destroy them and destroy us anyways. On the other hand, you know, there are a number of things to look into. The Pesachei Tshuva in 70, this is just an echo of last week. What about, okay, that's about, like Howard said before, maybe that's money, that's other things. What about risking your life to get the hostages out? Is that a different? We're talking about money and redeeming them other ways. So that goes back. We talked about last week a little bit. I quoted at length last week. But in Yoredeya Siman Reish Nun Beis, Sukkot Aleph, he quotes that Yad Eliyahu, again, we mentioned last week, is a person required to put himself in a sakana danger to rescue someone who's in danger. And it's maybe it's a minas chasidus and so on. So we talked about that last week. So that's also an important consideration when you're talking about a military operation to free. We're talking until now, okay, a group of government can negotiate or whatever. Okay, they're not putting anyone's life at risk. But what if you're putting someone's life at risk? So we saw, and I repeat it again, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Chav Hei Oz Gimel writes, no, that in war, you have to do what you have to do to save people because Chayecha Kodman doesn't really apply. Uberderech HaOlam, he writes, Nerogim Mishnah Tzadah Meis Mechama. Should never be able to have war, according to Halacha, because Pikuch Nefesh, Sakonis Nefoshes, right? And every soldier would say, Pikuch Nefesh, Doch everything, you need Yom Kippur, Kibalei Shabbos, Pikuch Nefesh. So why you don't have to listen and go out to war? So no, says the Minchas Chinuch, no, that's the nature of war. And the Torah allows it. So therefore, obviously, even though Sakana, you have to do it. And the Tziv says the same thing. The Marome Sodan, Erevin Mem, Hamad Alf, Divamasu, Shom, Pirish Rashi, Divamasu, Mahob, Loba, Lavi, says also, right to the end, the Ein Bo Yisrael, El of Shah, Shine, and Milchoma, the Ein Bo Yisrael, Sakana is a Foshas Klal. We can't take that into account when it comes to war. So that's the issue. Rabbi Waldenberg, Dain Waldenberg, and Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Gimel, Simon Kuf. We saw it last week also in 73. And Oz Aleph, he says, during war, you have to put yourself into a sakana. And he says also, in Oz Zion, Yos Kain Shalmanami, Omer the Mechoma Shiny. Every person has to fight the war to save other people because Mechoma and Hilchus Tzibur and so on is different. And he writes in Oz Ches, he says again, the Mechoma Shiny, Velo Zinabalakudi, and Mechuyu Vitzorach, Lahaknis Atzum Sufek Sakana, Telahatzis Chaver Mibare Sakana. You have to be willing to risk your life to save someone who's in Bare Sakana. And again, in Oz Yod, he writes, Mistake Krav Ain Din Shavachaibahem. So that's again, so wartime, and I'm not asking anything for contemporary situation. You have to look at it carefully. You have to figure out what makes sense for the war effort. Okay? There's a next Chuv I quoted is Chuvas Asay Lecha Rav. I don't find in some of the sheets, I think, but Asay Lecha Rav, that's of David, Chaim David Alevi. Was a chief rabbi in Tel Aviv, died in 1998. So his tshuva is Aseh Lecha Rav Chelek Zayin Siman Nun Gimel. Quotes from Shlomo Gorin, who says, well, the problem is that if you're talking about a prisoner exchange, yeah, I mean, they had it with Gilad Shalit, Nebuch, you know, so they released him and they gave 1,000 guys up. One of these 1,000 guys was active in this operation, just happened October 7th. And Baruch Hashem, they killed him this time. But, you know, so that's a question. Gorin mentions that. Okay, brings that up. And he says, you're going to let go of Mispar Ko Godol Shal Mechablim. That's a problem. But on the other hand, Chaim David Levi writes, the problem is, neged this idea, third line, neged Em Shemesh Chaklita, Omda Nekuda Chashuva Nosefes, the Hamoral, Memvav Reish Lamed, the morale, the last line, Shal Chayel Etzal. What about the morale of the soldiers? Okay? Because if a soldier knows that if he gets taken captive, but he knows that the country's going to get him out, and they do whatever they can to release him. So that gives him a certain amount of Mesiris Nefesh, a certain amount of koyach to go fighting. We're going to stick to Allah. Well, we can't redeem you. So it's going to be bad for the morale of the soldiers. So what the B'chaim David Alevi is saying, you also have to take into account what's best for the war effort and to figure that out also. Okay, that, you know, again, we have to do what with Manhigim, what the leaders figure out, you want to break that's the balance. What's going to be a bigger problem? Strengthening the Mechablim of the terrorists, right? If you give them what they want and so on and release their prisoners, what's better, that versus morale of the soldiers? I'm not here to Paskin, but that's an important issue. Another tshuva I printed, next tshuva, Chavos Binyamin. That's a Rav Shol Yisraeli, also died in the mid-1990s. Chayel Galov, Simon Tezani mentioned something else. We said before that a person can redeem himself. That's allowed, right? You can do whatever you have to. So he says, well, Shekevon She'ela Yotzalam Chama B'Shlichas HaMedina. These people went out to war. Why they did it? Why they went out to war? Because they were told by the government they have to do it. They work for the government, right? Hare Kayemes, Umedes Yischaibus, Milti Ksuva, but Muvenes Me'lel, that the government, it's like redeeming yourself. Because you're their shliach. In other words, you're the soldiers. Just like a person can do it, who's in captivity, can do whatever he has to do to get himself out, even paying an exorbitant fee. Well, these soldiers went in on shlichus in the government. So therefore, it's understood that they have to do everything they possibly can, okay, to get them out. All right? And the second paragraph, he writes, it's like the government accepted that obligation by sending these young men out to war, or women. There's no limit. So again, these are some of the issues you have to do what's best for the war effort. So Jackie mentioned before, I printed in the next source from Rabbi Shech the Sefer Bikve Atzon, Simon Lamed Beis Oz Gimel. And anyone who's around my age and old will remember this. He talks about Hinebe Sofa Kayetz Bishnas Tov Shin Lamed, the end of the summer in 1970. Okay. Tofsu terroristim Arabim Shnei Avirom. I think there were four. They captured, I think, four planes. They had two planes. They hijacked planes. And they brought them with Jews coming back from Eretz Yisrael. They were American Jews. Remember that? In 1970, I remember it because we said Tillim in school and everything else. Okay, I was still well before my mitzvah, but I still remember it.
Black September.
Yeah. So they brought these four planes to to some field someplace in Jordan. Okay, and they held them there. Now, I remember, I found out later rather, they actually tried to get a fifth plane. It was an LL plane. They tried to get the same day. And the LL plane, most of the LL pilots are former Air Force fighter pilots, the Israeli Air Force. So the guy put the plane into a sudden nosedive, and it knocked everybody off balance, including the terrorists, and the security on board was able to overpower them. I have a friend who was on that plane. The people on the plane didn't know at first what was going on. All of a sudden, the plane goes in a nosedive. You can't imagine the panic that went through. But then, anyway, but they took these four planes, and they were going to kill everybody and so on, and the Shech the right to Ubein HaShvuim Haya Hagona Ritza Kutna Zichon HaBracha Rosh Yeshiva Zvein HaChaim Berlin. Rav Hutna was on that plane, Rosh Yeshiva HaChaim Berlin, and he says that some people, his Talmidim, wealthy Talmidim, had an idea that they would raise a ton of money. Okay, well, his wealthy Talmidim from Chai Berlin want to raise the money and go to Misrad HaChutz, you know, the State Department in the United States, and propose that they'll give up this money. They'll give this money away to get Rav Hutna to be released. Okay, so the Rabbanim point out, well, they discussed this mission, getting Mehmet off that we said, you're not allowed to spend more than an exorbitant. They were going to raise an exorbitant amount. I don't think the State Department would ever have gone for it, but that's a different discussion. Okay, but they asked the Shiloh, and it was pointed out that Hutner certainly qualifies as a Talmud Chacham and a leader of the Jewish people at that time. But he said, some say that you can do it. But look at the last couple of lines. The Ton as Kenegdan Agon of Yaakov Kamenetsky is in Allah Racha. Yaakov Kamenetsky said, no, you can't do it. The whole Cheshbon is wrong. He said, because that whole discussion about paying an exorbitant amount for a Talmud Chacham, certainly Hutner, he fits the bill, he qualifies. But that's talking about paying off some kind of a kidnapper, a pirate, or something like that, who wants the money for his own, retirement fund or whatever it is. So then you can pay more. Okay. But here, what's going to happen? These shvuyim, he said, b'shas melchoma, second last line, e'ef shalom v'shemichum l'hafzik melchoma and ask liftos v'shemim mamon. We're going to stop. What are they going to do with the money? They're going to use the money. Nimtzino misayim la'oyev. You're helping in the middle of the war. You're helping them. You're going to give them more than they're going to do with the money. They'll strengthen to have more money, they'll have more wherewithal to kill more Jews. So that's a different story. In a battle, in a war, you can't spend an exorbitant amount even for a Talmud Chacham, because what are they going to do with that money? They're not looking to retire in the Riviera or something. They're looking to use the money to make more weapons, attack more Jews. Okay, so this is a very, major problem. You have to figure out what's best in the war effort. I just want to conclude with a couple of...
So what would Rabbi Yaakov have said about Kaznov and what he tried to do with Hungarian Jewry?
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. There are other episodes where people did. So I'm just reporting what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said. I mean, it's an interesting point. I mean,
Right there, I think it was a fait accompli. They were
right,
already...
It was already done.
Imprisoned.
Yeah.
Here they were grabbing them to imprison them. I think it's different.
I think so. I don't know. It's a good question, though. Okay, let me just end off. I mentioned Shul this morning. It says in our Sedra, right after we're going back to full circle, Lech Lecha, right after Avram redeemed Lot. So it says over there in the next parak, Parak Tesva Pasuk Aleph. Okay, I don't have some of the pages here, but it says that because Baruch Hu said to Avram, Al tira Avram Anochi Magen Loch. Don't be frightened, Avram, because I'm protecting you. Okay, so it doesn't say what was Avram frightened about. Was he nervous about? Why did Hashem tell him, don't be frightened? The implication being that he was frightened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to sort of encourage him, don't be frightened, I'll protect you, I'll save you. From what? What was the concern? This was right after, Acharei Avram, it was right afterwards. So Rashi says, you want to know what he's frightened about? He said, Anochi Mogen Loch, Min Ha'onesh, I'm protecting you from punishment. What punishment? From what? You won't be punished for the lives that you took in this battle to redeem Lot. Avram was worried. I killed people. Right? He didn't just walk in there and ask for his nephew Lot. And they said, okay, here, take him home. No, he had a fight and people were killed. Okay. And therefore, again, that has contemporary significance. Avram was nervous, maybe taking life. We're not happy about taking life ever. And Avram was nervous. Hashem told him, no, you did the right thing. That's the point. Sometimes, even if you have to take lives, that's what you have to do. You have to figure out each situation. The last source that I printed is in Parshas Chukas, another episode of a Shavuot, and that relates. This we'll see in a moment. Relates to us as we finish up. Parshas Chukas, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. The Kanani Melech Harad. Some say it was actually Amalek. He disguised the Kanani. Wherever they were, they came and they took Vayelochem Yisrael Yish Menu Shevi. They took a captive. Rashi says Yish Menu Shevi, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Ena El Shifchas. One captive. So B'nai Yisrael didn't just say, okay, big deal, one captive. No. Pasuk Beis back in the previous source. Vayida Yisrael Neder, and I took a Neder to Hashem. And he said, if you do this, I'll give tzedakah and so on. And Vayishma Hashem B'koyisal, Hashem listen, and the Jewish people would redeem this captain. They were victorious. So the Ramban writes over there, the Sipur HaKosov Kishoma Hashem Tfilosam. Because Baruch accepted a tefillah. It was a tefillah, we're going to go in and try and redeem this one hostage. Okay, and the Al Shech and Tilim Perek Samachay, Pasuk Vav, this will finish. Al Yidei Tzedakah, Osel Hamis Baruch, no rose. Through the midst of tzedakah, through the midst of tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered, they were able to redeem this captive. So that's something, a lesson to us. We're not on the front lines here. We're not going in. Again, the soldiers perhaps have a responsibility, and the government has a responsibility. Some of the troops that we saw, lives are at stake and so on. We have to do everything. But one thing we can do here is we can daven. Okay, we can daven. And that's the Ramban writes, Ki Hashem Shoma Hashem Tfilosim. We continue to daven with the same Islavas that we've had till now. Continue to daven. And we can do other mitzvahs like tzedakah. And in that merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should taka hear our tefillah. And once again, let all the hostages come back safe and sound. Wish everybody a good tovach. And hope we'll hear Besuros Tovos Bekarov.
Amen.
Amen. Shkach.
Thank you.
Amen. Shkach.